Yeah, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, grab it, open it up to Proverbs chapter 16. So we've been in what is labeled as the Proverbs of Solomon, and we're kind of halfway through it right now. It started back in chapter 10, and what Solomon does is he sets up the contrast between those who seek a wisdom versus those who follow after folly. Or you could put it another way, or he'll use other words as righteousness versus wickedness. And the single factor that he says makes all the difference between these two people or these two pathways is the fear of the Lord. He tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the genesis, literally in Hebrew, the beginning of wisdom. And he tells us that back in Proverbs 1, 7 and 9, verse 10. And now, here in chapter 16, we're kind of ready to move into this second half of the Proverbs of Solomon. But before we do, Solomon wants to remind us once again which way is better. And this is a vital, important reminder because in the midst of life, in the middle of what you may be going through or experiencing, we may have forgotten, we may have lost sight about which way is indeed better. Let me show you what I mean and what I think is Solomon is wanting them back. So Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 16. He writes this: how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. I'm going to be honest with you because I literally wrestled with this verse once again this morning for about 30 minutes. Because did you catch what he said? He said, understanding is to be chosen. Which means it's up to you. You have a choice. You're not just some helpless victim. It's a choice. And when faced between understanding and silver, Scripture tells us that it's better for you to choose understanding. The problem? This is easier said than done, right? I looked it up again. Silver closed at $24.87 an ounce on Friday. That's a whopping $2.62 more than what it was about 4 weeks ago when we encountered this similar verse. Gold closed at $1,974.90 an ounce. That's $45.30 more than what it was 4 weeks ago. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, like this morning, I'm like, you know what? I'd rather choose $1,974.90 worth of gold right now than having wisdom. I mean, because if I had chosen gold 4 weeks ago, right, I would have $45.30 more than what I had before. And besides, I can't see wisdom. I can't physically touch wisdom. I can't spend wisdom. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to feel and to think. Because he knows what Scripture has just revealed in Proverbs 16, verse 16, is absolutely true. The enemy's not second guessing this verse. So he's going to do everything in his power, everything that he can do to get you to believe the complete opposite. It's why Scripture calls it temptation. But Christ, who we know is the wisdom of God based off of 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ comes on the scene and he tells us, but seek first, literally in the Greek, to investigate, to reach a binding resolution. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all, everyone say all. All these things will be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. But what do we do?
All.
We seek, we investigate everything else first. And in the end, we have neither those things or wisdom and understanding. So in the short term, even though it may not feel like it, you better believe in the long term, choosing wisdom and understanding will always be better than silver or gold. But that's not the only better than comparison Solomon is using to tell his son about. Skip over to verse 18 of chapter 16. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Just real fast, Caroline, leave it for a second. I thought this was interesting. That word haughty in the Hebrew is the same word used to describe Goliath when it tells us about how tall Goliath was. And I couldn't help but think when I saw this verse or came across that, I wonder if Solomon thought about his dad and the stories he heard about his dad slaying Goliath. Pride goes before his destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better, verse 19, to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. And again, we have another comparison that uses money. Better to be humble and hanging out with poor people than have riches beyond your imagination and be with the proud, because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And for the rest of Proverbs chapter 16, Solomon, he'll unpack the difference between these two pathways. He will show why one way is better than the other. And you're not going to believe what he focuses on. He doesn't necessarily focus on what one does over the other, like in actions. He focuses on what the person, the individual says, the words he or she uses. Listen to verse 20. I'll show you what I mean. Whoever gives a thought to the word. Now just stop right there for a second, because what word are we talking about, right? Is it the words that Solomon's writing here in Proverbs? Is it the word that we saw in Proverbs 1, chapters 1 through 9, talking about Lady Wisdom and the words that she cries out to us? Or maybe, just maybe, this is talking about referring to the entirety of Scripture. I.e. the word of the Lord. You may remember Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. And what we said back there in Proverbs chapter 13 was that God's word always comes to us. It calls to us, asking us, demanding us to turn from our sin and receive his mercy, grace, and understanding. And so Solomon picks up in chapter 16 this comparison again, this thought between those who choose wisdom versus those who don't. And in chapter 16, verse 20, he says, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called a discerning, and sweetness, there it is, sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instructions of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Translation. Not only do words make you feel better emotionally, they make you feel better physically. We did a study, a small group study, few years ago now, based off this book called Switch On Your Brain, and it's by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And listen to this quote that she discovered in her study. This is what she says. Research shows that DNA actually changes shape according to our thoughts. And so what are our thoughts, right? Our thoughts are simply words in our minds. So keep reading. As you think of those negative thoughts about the future, the week ahead, what a person might say or do, even in the absence of concrete stimulus, that toxic thinking will change your brain wiring in a negative direction and throw your mind and body into stress. According to Dr. Herbert Benson, MD, president of Harvard Medical School's Mind Body Institute, right? I mean, we're not talking about Tulsa Community College. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying that, but this is Harvard. And according to Dr. Herbert Benson, this is what he says. Negative thinking leads to stress, which affects your body's natural healing capacities.
Yeah.
Several weeks ago, this is what scripture says, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The contemporary English version puts it this way. Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Sweetness to the soul and health to your body. What you say. Dr. Lee, she'll go on to write this. Research shows that 75, this is mind-blowing, 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life.
Yes.
This is a staggering and eye-opening statistic, and it means that only 2 to 25% of mental and physical illnesses come from your environment or genes. Unbelievable. That 75% of what's wrong with you physically, science has proven, is based on what you think. And this is science confirming what Scripture wrote over 3,000 years ago.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are sweetness to the soul and health to the body. But Solomon takes it a step further. He doesn't stop right there. Listen to what he writes in chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the what? The tongue. Are you kidding me? So now what I say, the words that I use, have the power of life and death. You better believe it. I'm reminded of the story of Abigail. You may remember her when we did our series, The Shadow King, and we took a look at the life of King David. Abigail had a foolish husband, Nabal, and he refused to share provisions to David and his men, even though David and his men protected Nabal and his crops. So when David hears that Nabal is not going to share his crops with him and his men, David's hot. David's angry. And he's charging towards Nabal to destroy him and his entire household. Abigail comes on the scene and she meets David along the way. And she's not alone. She has all these provisions with her to give to him. And this isn't all that she gives to David. Listen to what she says to him. She bows low to the ground. And she gives probably the most discerning, persuasive, gracious, full of life speech found in Scripture. We're going to pick it up. 1 Samuel 25, verse 28. This is what she says. Please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for my Lord working salvation himself. What she's saying, she is telling David, trying to remind David about the Lord. She could have approached David and said to him, what are you doing, you so-called Mashiach, you Messiah? Instead, what did she do? She goes to David and she humbly asks David to remember God's faithfulness and God's word. And as a result of her words, what she said, David relents and an entire household is saved. You see, what she said, the words that she used, had the power of life. But the sweetness to the soul and health to the body, along with this power of life, are results of those who have chosen the pathway of wisdom. So what are the effects of those who have chosen folly? Back to Proverbs chapter 16, listen to verse 26. A worker's appetite works for him, what he wants, what he desires, what his flesh craves. And his mouth urges him on. A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Whoever winks his eye plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. And so the description of who this person is, a worthless man, a dishonest man, a whisperer, a man of violence, are matched by the description of what he does. Plots evil, spreads strife, separates close friends, entices his neighbor, and leads him in a way that is not good. What a contrast, what a difference to those who have chosen wisdom and have the sweetness with their words. And taken out of context, Solomon is about to make a claim in verse 32 that many of us would not believe. But after reading all this, we're more likely to say to ourselves, you know what? Scripture's right. It's not a stretch out of the imagination at all, because listen to what he says, this final better than statement in chapter 16. We're going to pick it up, verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And guess what happens when you and I read that verse? We have very much the same reaction that we had when we heard about choosing wisdom is better than gold. We say to ourselves, give me a break. No way. How in the world could someone who is slow to anger be better than someone who is mighty? Well, I'll tell you how. I'm glad you asked that question. James chapter 3. Listen to what James writes and tells us in verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And Solomon tells his son back in Proverbs, he's like, I don't care how much you can bench press. I don't care how many cities you have conquered or have under your belt. I'll take someone who can control their emotions. I'll take someone who can control their thoughts and what they say over these individuals any day of the week. And he continues and he tells his son, not only that, I'll even take less food to eat. Chapter 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. This takes us back to last Sunday, does it not? When we were looking at about a dinner of herbs with love is better than a fattened ox with hatred. See, as you gather and as we gather around a meal, who we surround ourselves with, who we set at our table, determines the entire experience. And Solomon says here in chapter 17, just picture a bare bones meal. But at least you have peace around the table, and you contrast that with this busy kitchen full of amazing food, but it has a lot of biting comments. It has a lot of strife. And you would think with all these observations that Solomon makes about the words that we say, that he would give his son several commands about what he says and how he says it. But Solomon doesn't. He gives him only one in this chapter. It's found in verse 14. I love this. This is marriage counseling 101. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. Every husband in here should have said amen.
Amen.
Listen to how the NIV translates it though. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Amen. You see, at first it's just a little trickle coming out of this tiny hole, but it doesn't take long before all the water that is meant to be contained is streaming out of control. And it's all based on what you say, or should I say, don't say. And Solomon is telling his son that that moment that you said, and you know it, whether you're married, at work, it doesn't matter, any kind of relationship, you can feel it. And Solomon is telling his son that moment in that tense conversation when you know if you just make one more sarcastic comment, if you know that this is the proverbial straw I'm going to get her. I've been holding on to this zinger for several weeks now, and here it comes. But you know if you make that comment that the fight will be on. But if you don't, if you stop, Solomon says you can avoid World War III. So he tells his son, stop before it's too late. Choose the path of wisdom. Because if you cannot stop, oh church, hear me, if you cannot stop, you may be revealing more about what's going on in your heart than you probably realize. If you get mad at me, you're not mad at me, you're mad at the Bible. Listen to what Solomon says, verse 19 of chapter 17. Whoever loves transgression loves strife. Or if I could put it another way, whoever loves sin loves strife. So if you love to argue, if you love poking the bear, not good. If you love, you know, just having arguments over and over and over, then listen, the scripture says, then you love rebelling against God. You are simply revealing the state of your own heart. And Solomon doesn't stop there, as if all this wasn't bad enough, right? He's going to pile on the effects of the words that we use to those who choose the pathway of folly. Chapter 18, pick it up in verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You've been there, right? You've been a part of that group. that social clinch or forte or whoever that you have, right? Where there's this one person that cannot shut up. They love to do all the talking. And if you're sitting here like, well, no, I don't know that person. Well, listen, it's you. Right? What a great warning for all of us to do more listening rather than talking. But again, Solomon doesn't stop. Listen to, skip over to verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. And then we skip to verse 6. A fool's lips will walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. So words can scorch like a fire, or they can bring sweetness to a soul. They can be deep waters that destroy, or a fountain of wisdom that brings life. They can be poisonous slander that tastes like delicious morsels but goes down deep and destroys relationships, or they can be the carriers of life. Proverbs call, what Solomon is telling his son, is that to hear wisdom call is a call to take in life giving words, and as you take in those life-giving words, then you cannot help but flow out life-giving words to people that you talk to. He says, if you choose the path of foolishness, you will become a person. You will become a people full of foolishness. And you will reveal and you will show your wickedness in a variety of ways. And this evil, it reveals itself not in just separate bad acts. It reveals its evil that grows inside of your heart. It comes out of a sinful heart. Solomon isn't simply trying to show us the difference between those who are fools and those who are wise. It's instruction about your heart.
Amen.
I heard it said this way. I believe it was Pastor Matt Chandler in Texas. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. It's a heart issue. And Jesus, this is why Jesus, after talking to his disciples, he tells them that it's not what goes into their mouths that defiles them, but what comes out. And he explains them to the parable. He explains it to them this way in Matthew chapter 15, verse 17. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. What you say reveals your heart. And failure to heed these warnings, failure to choose a different pathway, to look at what you say and reflect on whether or not it's of wisdom or of folly, has serious consequences. Proverbs chapter 19, we'll begin landing the plane with this. Verse 27 tells us, cease to hear instruction. That word here is Shema in Hebrew. Many of you may know it, the Shema prayer that all Jewish people know, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one, the Shema. And Solomon tells his son, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will. Not that you may, not that it's possible, not that you might. If you cease to hear instruction, if you cease to listen to what God is saying to you and respond and repent, you will stray from the words of knowledge. A worthless witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Condemnation. Other translations have the word judgment. Judgment is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools. This is serious. We're not just talking about words here. We're talking about eternal consequences. Oh, JD, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Well, here, hold my sweet tea. Matthew chapter 12, this is what Jesus said. Pick it up in verse number 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So what are we to do? I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't do your initial knee-jerk reaction and you say to yourself, well, I'll just stop talking that way. If you do that, I guarantee you, you'll fail every single time. You may be good at it for a day, 2 days, 3 days, I'll give you that. But in the long run, you will fail every single time. So stop talking like that. No, this is a heart issue that you cannot solve on your own. So if you're sitting here under the sound of my voice or you're watching online and you're saying to yourself, oh, I hear you, God. Ouch. That hits. That hurts. This is a heart issue. And so what do? If you say those things, you start out by repenting, asking for forgiveness, and then you ask the Spirit to do surgery on you. Again, I've said it before. He is the great cardiologist. So you ask the Spirit, I felt that. I hear your voice. I'm thinking about, you're bringing into my mind my words, my thoughts, what I'm thinking, what I'm saying. And I'm having specific instances, circumstances come to my mind right now, and I feel it. But there's therefore no condemnation for those who are called. Right, so the Spirit's doing that not to condemn you. He's doing that to make you more like the image of Jesus Christ. And as you say that to Him, Spirit, I hear you. I see, or I'm feeling these circumstances, and I know that, Father, I repent. I seek forgiveness, and I give it to you, and I ask that you change me. And that's why, as part of our response time, we have communion up here in the front. The cup of juice that represents His blood that was shed for us and His body that was given in our place. We take communion. We have this to remind us that you cannot solve this on your own. You need help. And that's okay, because look around, all of us do. There's not one person here that has it figured out, including myself. My family will tell you. We all need help. And when we do, when we lean on Him and not on our own understanding, Scripture gives us this promise. Listen to verse 23 of Proverbs 19. The fear of the Lord, oh church, this is good, leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. You want life? You want rest? You want to be satisfied? Stop choosing gold. You have a choice. Stop choosing silver. Choose the path of wisdom and what God says. Submit to Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. This is why, as part of our response time too, that we give. This is our opportunity to physically show that we have made the decision to choose wisdom over gold and silver. So we have offering plates up here at the front. If you're watching online, you can mail a check, P.O. Box 1774 here in Owosso. Go to our website, newheightsowosso.church. There's a tab there where you can give, or text the word give to 918-300-4483. But we want to seek His kingdom first. We want to choose His pathway first. And all these things are going to be added unto us. You believe it, church? So let's pray. Let's surrender to God all control of our lives and the results we think that we are deserve. If you would, please stand. Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for this moment. In these next few moments that we have, Father, we surrender to you. We give to you. We don't choose our own way. We don't do what we think is right or what seems right to us. But Father, in these next few moments, we're going to submit to you and to your what your word says about life and how it should be lived. Contrary to what our circumstances say, contrary to what we may think or feel, Father, we're going to surrender to you in these next few moments and ask that you have your will and way in and through us. So, Father, do what only you could do in these next few moments. I pray all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. Church, I love you.